This week, I'm going to give you a key ingredient that dads need to gain some momentum and create a safety net of sorts. The reason we all struggle, the real reason, is because we're lonely, we're bored, and euphoria created by intoxication of any kind eases that burden. From social lubricant to a change in your state of mind. Don't believe me? Go find your best drinking buddy and plan a day together and don't have a drink. It's weird. This actually happened to me last year. I have this really great friend who's also a really great client who I consider one of my best buds. He happens to be a millionaire who owns a car dealership in California. And to say we partied together would be a complete understatement. You name it, we've done it. So some of the craziest, most memorable, intoxicated moments in my life, I share with this guy. It's been like that since the day we met. And while we don't talk every day, when we do get together, we celebrate it. However, the last time we got together, I was over a year sober, and he was getting sober curious. So while he was fascinated that I'd actually done it, and that curated most of our conversations, he wasn't totally on board yet. So after we had our typical work meeting and then wrapped up the business side of it, it was time. That liquid lunch that would typically spiral into a 2 or 3 day bender that would leave us both exhausted and just destroyed by the end of it. But when I couldn't break into my former self, it got a little strange and we both knew it. God bless the guy. We ended up wandering around North LA completely sober, looking for something to do. A couple of 40-year-old dads. One's a handsome millionaire dripping in Versace, and the other one has an unlimited expense budget to entertain him. We were both like, oh, if we're not going to drink, what do we do? This is weird, and it's getting awkward. And all we could do was go grab a couple of lunch steaks and hit the mall. And at the end of it, we ended up at his kids' sports practices and his daughter's horseback riding competition. Then out to eat with his family. And at the end of the night, we cheersed a couple of non-alcoholic beers. And we both agreed that it was probably the best time that we had gotten to spend together in over a decade. And when I left, his wife was like, so Nick, when are you coming back next? Which was strange because that never happened before. All that to say, because I had already been building a sober community and I knew how to communicate my boundaries, I was able to stay steadfast in my convictions. Trust me when I tell you that that could have easily gone the other way had I not done the work on how to communicate where I was at in my sobriety. You have to have people in your life who are supportive and understand that what you're going through is hard for you and that you're putting sweat equity into your future. And it's taken work and dedication to get where you're at right now. In this episode, I'm going to break down one of the most important components to starting a life in sobriety, and that's building a sober community. So grab a mop, because we're cleaning up the mess. Has life gotten off track? Are you looking for some inspiration to be a better dad? People say all the time, I'd die for my kids. Okay, but would you live for them? Actually live? Get yourself healthy? Make better choices? Eliminate distractions? Would you lead them more intentionally? Would you get sober? Take better care of yourself, physically and mentally. You'd only have to die once. Your kids don't need you to die for them. They need you to live. Have you thought about getting sober, but you just didn't know where to start? If so, welcome to the Domestic Dad Podcast, your go-to destination for candid discussions on journeys into sobriety, parenting, and personal growth. I'm Nick Barnett, founder of the Domestic Dad Project. I've been a dad since I was 18 years old. I'm also a trauma survivor, an alcoholic, divorced, happily remarried, hardworking, humbled by life, domestic dad. On this podcast, you'll find interviews with people who have walked that path, including myself, coaches, mentors, and pastors who can help guide you on your journey. You're going to need resources and inspiration. You can find that here. This is the community for you to lean into so you can start living life as a domestic dad. So let's grab a mop and start cleaning up the mess. Here are 4 key components to building a sober community. You ready? Step number 1, talking with your family. Telling your family that you're going to get sober can be a very challenging but essential step towards your recovery journey. Here are some tips on how to approach this conversation. Choose the right time and place. Pick a time when everyone is calm and There are minimal distractions. Choose a private setting where you can have an open conversation without any interruptions. Be real about your struggles with addiction. Transparency is key here. Tell the truth. You've lied to yourself and everyone else enough up until this point. It's okay to let go of that and just be vulnerable with your family to start. Share your reasons for wanting to make a change. For me, that was an obvious conversation. I had spent the last several months with heartburn, vomiting, shaking, sweating, despondent, depressed, full of anxiety. It was hard for me to get out of bed in the morning. I woke up hungover every day. I wasn't productive with my work. My body was starting to shut down. I wasn't present with my family. I couldn't sleep through the night. It was tough. All kinds of just terrible things going on, but it's different for everybody. Let them know that this comes from a place of self-awareness and desire for a better life for you and for them. Everyone wants this for you. And whether you know it or not, they've all been praying for you to get here for a very long time. The next thing that you have to do is express your commitment. Assure your people that you're committed to this, that you're seeking help and support to make positive changes in your life. Let them know that you understand the impact that your drinking or your addictions had on them. But be empathetic in the way that you approach this. It's not just about you. It's about them too. You're leaning into your team here. Open up the conversation to listen to their concerns. Be prepared for a range of emotions from your people, including fear, anger, skepticism. You've done this before. Listen attentively to their concerns and validate their feelings. Let them know that you understand their worries and that you're committed to addressing them through your actions. Offer reassurance. Reassure your people that you're taking proactive steps to get the help that you need, whether it's through therapy, support groups, rehabilitation programs, peer coaches, hopefully. Share your plans for recovery and invite them to be a part of your support system. Set realistic expectations. Be very realistic about the challenges ahead and acknowledge that recovery is a process that takes time and effort. Encourage your family to be patient and understanding with you as you navigate this journey together. And just a side note here, it doesn't take that long. As I look back on my journey into sobriety at this point, I can remember that it was painful for weeks. It sucked really bad, but everything after those weeks went by in the snap of a finger. Was there a ton of work that happened? Yes. Were there a lot of meetings? Yes. Was there a lot of struggling with the knot internally? Absolutely. But as I reflect on it now, it didn't take that long. And as I sit here today, I'm approaching 2 years of sobriety and my life has gotten infinitely better. I don't think anybody, as a matter of fact, I could promise you that people that have gotten sober and maintained their sobriety will tell you that life is better this way. Anyway, getting back to it, provide resources. Offer them information about resources available for family members of individuals struggling with addiction, such as support groups or counseling services. Let them know that they're not alone, and that there are people and organizations that can help them cope with their feelings and their experiences that you're about to put them through. Because for a little while, you're going to whine and complain about how bad getting sober sucks. But at the end of the day, just remember that all of this will be way better than every single day that has led up to this. Follow through. Ultimately, the best way to show your family that you're serious about your sobriety is to follow through on your commitment to recovery. Stay accountable, seek support when needed, and demonstrate through your actions that you're dedicated to living a happier and healthier life with them. By approaching the conversation with empathy, honesty, and a willingness to listen, you can help ease your people's concern and lay a foundation for a supportive and understanding relationship as you embark on your journey into sobriety. The other thing that you have to remember here internally is to take the cape off. You can't help any of them until you help yourself. Step number two, find an accountability partner. Identifying the best accountability partner for sobriety can vary depending on individual preferences and needs. However, some of the characteristics to consider when selecting accountability partners are as follows. Someone you trust implicitly. who has your best interests at heart and will keep your conversations confidential. Look for someone who's empathetic and understanding, someone who's reliable and consistent. Remember, you want them to pick up the phone or respond to a text when you reach out. Someone who has experience with sobriety. Consider partnering with somebody who has their own personal experiences they've gone through in terms of recovery and sobriety, as they might have valuable insights and empathy based on their own journey. Choose somebody who is a good listener and can offer support and encouragement without dominating the conversation. Seek someone who shares similar values and sobriety goals. This can foster stronger connection and mutual understanding. Ensure that your partner respects your boundaries and understands the importance of maintaining a healthy and balanced relationship. How do I say this? You don't want somebody who's going to try to date you or take advantage of your relationship. Look for someone who is a positive influence in your life and can motivate you to stay on track with your sobriety goals. Ultimately, the best accountability partner for sobriety is someone who is supportive, understanding, and committed to helping you achieve and maintain your recovery journey. Whether it's a close friend, a family member, a sponsor, or a fellow member of a support group, I highly recommend peers who have been through something similar. Myself, I really leaned into my wife and my mom, because my mom is the best coach I've ever had in my life, and my wife was going through it with me and knew how important it was for me to stay sober, and she did the same. The key here is to find someone who you feel comfortable with and has skin in the game, who can provide the support and encouragement that you need along the way. Step number 3, get the apps. Sobriety apps like I Am Sober offer various benefits to individuals striving for sobriety. It did for me anyways. They have features like daily accountability, milestone tracking, reminders, and notifications. It's just really nice to get a reminder that, hey, you're 17 days. Hey, you're 28 days. Hey, you just hit a month. You just hit 6. You just hit 9 months. Those are great things to strive towards in the beginning and get you little screenshots along the way, while tracking it down to the second. They offer things like community support and personalized resources. These things are like having AA in your pocket, which is invaluable in those moments where you would typically get on social media and see where your friends are drinking and get triggered or have euphoric recall and go down memory lane and think, ah, I'm missing out. Instead, these things align with where you're at and how many days you have logged into sobriety, and they show you a social media feed, if you will, of users from people who are in the exact same day that you're in. And you can go in there and read what other people are going through, and I kid you not, it is so on point. Every single time I go in there and look at it, or when I went through it, this was where I spent a lot of time on my phone in the beginning of sobriety. And it was unprecedented how on par everybody else was in what they were going through, from physical changes in their bodies to mental things that they were going through and how badly they wanted to have a drink, or on the other side of it, how proud they were of themselves for getting to this point. It's extremely encouraging, and I think that you really need to take a look into the apps, especially the one that I used was I Am Sober. There's also a place in there where you can write down your pledge to yourself, which is all of the things that you want to achieve in sobriety and what you want to do once you do achieve it. There's even a place where you can include pictures for reasons. Mine, if you haven't been able to guess, all include pictures of my family, my wife, my children, all of the beautiful things in my life that I didn't want to lose. There's another spot in there where you can write down how much money you spend on alcohol. Don't lie to yourself if and when you fill this out. Be real about it. I have a number in mind that I spent a day, and that was even less the bar bills, less the extra drinks at the restaurant when we would go out to eat, and all of the additional things that I would spend money on because I got too loose-minded and didn't remember what my budget was. So keep that in mind when you plug into one of these apps, is to be honest with yourself about what your daily spend on alcohol was, because today the amount of money that I can look back on and tell you that I have saved is a ridiculous number. They also include a place where you can journal to yourself and keep a log. And I never did that just because in the beginning, I didn't think that it would be beneficial for me to look back at where I was. And that, you guys, is one of my biggest regrets. I always go back and I start to take down notes and I start to write things down. But to be completely honest, if I could go back and remember some of the things that I was looking at in the early stages, it would give me a much better anchor to all the things that I went through physically and emotionally in that process. The other thing that you need to know is that these things are completely anonymous. I still have mine on my phone and I look at it periodically, but not every day anymore. In the beginning of my journey, this was a huge advantage and a huge tool that I used to get me to where I am today. So I would just highly recommend it. Step number four, work the program. There are several pathways to sobriety, and as a peer coach or peer recovery specialist, I've tried most of them that range from Alcoholics Anonymous to state-funded programs to men's transformation groups at church to IOP, aka intensive outpatient programs. I wouldn't say any of them were comfortable places for me to start. Each of them would play a role in where I would eventually end up. On the first day of sobriety, after being down this road so many different times in my life, I was strongly encouraged to go in for an evaluation at a place that offers IOP. They pretty much do a psychiatric evaluation on you. Don't let that scare you. Don't freak out. Nobody's tracking you. Nobody's gonna find this on a background check. There are HIPAA laws that cannot be violated here. It's just answering questions about how much you drink and what has happened because of your drinking in your life. And if you are there, you just need to be honest with them. It was difficult for me because I wasn't ready to admit all of this stuff yet. So it was still sitting in this cloud of shame and guilt. So I was like, no, I cannot do this yet. I'm not this bad yet. Am I? And they're like, you can do what we call IOP, and you'll meet with a counselor once a week. And we would recommend that you do 3 days a week, 3 hours a night of group sessions led by a counselor, to which I was extremely reluctant. But I have to tell you, it was an awesome experience because you meet other people that are going through different things, and you really learn a lot about how to process what you're going through. And you start to figure out that you're not alone. I learned a lot about setting goals and learning about what I was going through and just a whole lot of different things. The other thing that it did for me was it gave me skin in the game. Let me unpack that a little bit. 3 hours a night. So when I would come home from a 3 hour session at IOP, I had been away from my family for 3 hours that night. And my wife would say, hey, what did you learn? And remember, my wife is one of my accountability partners. I could go through some of that stuff with her. And because it was for such a long duration at a high frequency of days during the week, it really gave me a foundation of you've invested this much time into your sobriety and away from your family. Stick with it. The other things that I had done in my process was that I had a really good life coach that recommended to me that I get with somebody who I trusted and had been through what I was about to go through to meet with on a fairly regular basis. And this gentleman was somebody that I met at one of the men's transformation groups that were offered through my church at one point. And I still, to this day, meet with him every Friday morning for coffee. And he infuses my life with faith, a lot of scripture that helps me process the things that get put in front of me. At this point in my life, I have built such a robust sober community that every single day of my life, I could call and catch up and talk with somebody different. Literally a different day for every day of the month that I could call and just check in on somebody. And it feels good to be the person that's checking in with someone and be part of somebody else's sober community. And that's a nice way to live. All that to say, start now. Talk with your family. Find an accountability partner. Find several. connect with the apps and get involved in these programs, because all of these things will help you create and build your sober community. If you're hearing this message, you've listened to the entire episode. And for that, I want to thank you with all my heart. I hope you enjoyed it. And if you did, please leave us a review on Apple Podcasts or Spotify. It really helps us out. Also, please follow us on Facebook or share this episode on your social media. You can also join our community by grabbing some merch. It means the world to me to know that this podcast is making a difference in someone's life. And if this episode inspired you to get sober or simply become a better version of yourself, you can claim your free 60-minute coaching session by visiting www.domesticdadproject.com. Let's continue supporting each other to break the stigma around dads reaching out for help, to get our lives on track while navigating the obstacles of fatherhood. Until next time, keep cleaning up the mess.